The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this almost Friday, Thursday, as we ramp up to the weekend where the third jewel, make it the second jewel of the Triple Crown. The Preakness Stakes is about to run on Saturday. Let's get everything straight now. Today is almost Friday, Thursday. The second jewel of the Triple Crown is on Saturday, the Preakness Stakes. And of course, we welcome you to the show. So there you have it. There it is. We welcome you to the show. You will come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, home base, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. That is, of course, our radio stations here. But we come to you live and direct over the streaming of video on the YouTube video at South Point Studios Network. And here from the South Point Studios. So we welcome you to the show this morning. And of course, our other formats of delivery are around the world, really. Our platforms include our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world. And of course, you got your apps for your Androids and your iPhones. Of course, the KSHP app so you can hear us. And the YouTube app so you can see and listen to us right there on your phones or your devices, I should say. Does anybody use that thing for a phone anymore? Everybody texts and goes to apps and all that stuff. So anyhow, for your devices, that's for sure. And we welcome you to the show and anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Coming to you here from Las Vegas, of course, our weather is great here. Right now, it's 72 degrees outside, and we're going to get up to 95. Now, that's the weather here in Las Vegas. And it's always fast, firm, and perfect in our race books anyhow. But the real question about the weather is, of course, in Baltimore, Maryland, at Pimlico. And so right now we have, as far as the racing today at Pimlico, they've already taken the turf races off the turf, okay? As a matter of fact, they have come off the turf already at Pimlico. They've come off the turf at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct today, because there is a storm that's making its way through the Northeast. But more importantly is another storm that's right over the Midwest now that's moving its way east. And that's the storm that we're worried about, the storm system we're worried about, and the timing of it for not only tomorrow's Black-Eyed Susan day of racing, the Black-Eyed Susan Stakes, of course, the counterpart to the Kentucky Oaks. That will feature six stakes races tomorrow at Pimlico. And then, of course, Saturday, nine stakes races highlighted by the Preakness Stakes. Now, the predictions are that it's going to be wet tomorrow, and I would assume that taking it off the turf today at Pimlico is a precautionary measure for the races today at Pimlico on the turf course. But we're looking at tricky weather there. If they can get through that weather storm that's making its way over the Midwest right now, can get through the East Coast in time, but we doubt it. And so we're looking at probably an off-track for sure at Pimlico for the next 2.5-3 days. And so that does change the complexion, of course, of the past performances and handicapping for those races on the dirt. And as far as the races on the turf, I am absolutely sure that the folks at Pimlico will do everything within their power to run the turf races on the turf. If the turf condition obviously won't be firm, It'll be anywhere from good to soft. But because it's only a brief two-week meet that will end over the weekend at Pimlico, I am sure that they will try to use the turf course, even if they're going to dig it up as much, in running over the turf course when the track condition is that soft or good. But they're going to try, I believe, to run the races on the turf at Pimlico for the next 2 days, at least the stakes races for sure, for both tomorrow and on Saturday at Pimlico. So we'll wait and see about that. That's the latest there. We're looking at between 55, 60% up to as much as 85% rain during Saturday and Friday. So we'll wait and see about that as far as the concern there for, and of course it's in Baltimore. As far as the other weather conditions, we got a lot of stuff going on in the Gulf area, in the Gulf between going through places like Louisiana, Alabama, et cetera, right through in some parts of Florida. They're looking at flood warnings there. They're going to get a lot of rain there. Now, the cancellations yesterday, Horseshoe Indianapolis canceled because they got like 4 inches of rain in the area where the racetrack was right around the time they were supposed to race. So they canceled races yesterday at Horseshoe in Indianapolis. However, as we check the cancellations for today, it seems that it's a go there today. We'll wait and see about that. Finger Lakes canceled yesterday because of lack of entries. They didn't have enough entries to run a card yesterday at Finger Lakes. And you know all about Golden Gate. They will cancel what they had scheduled earlier in the season. They had scheduled to run on Fridays as well as Saturday and Sunday. They're going to run on Fridays when they get enough entries. But for right now, Golden Gate has scheduled cancellation of tomorrow's program because of lack of entries, and looking ahead to next Friday as well, a week from tomorrow as well. Now, if that changes, that's all because of the entry box, et cetera. But right now, they're canceled tomorrow. So we had the cancellations of Horseshoe Indianapolis yesterday and Finger Lakes. As far as today, we don't have any cancellations to report today. However, with that really severe weather going through the area that we just talked about, there could be cancellations later. All right? And so that's that. Let me take a look. I'm going to give you post times for this coming weekend as far as other racetracks adjusting their post times to accommodate the Preakness Stakes and the big racing card at Pimlico. Tomorrow on Black Eyed Susan's Day, Pimlico Racecourse itself will start racing at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. Now, they're scheduled to go at 9:25 this morning, but it's going to be 8:30 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow for Pimlico. Now, on Saturday, Preakness Day, they'll start an hour earlier than that. The first race will get underway at 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. The first race will be run halfway through our show on Saturday morning. Other racetracks that have adjusted their normal start times on Saturday include Aqueduct. Their first post is going to be 9:35. Louisiana Downs will go at 1:45. These are all Pacific times now. We're going to have a special racing card at Parks Racing. Parks Racing is going to have a card that starts at 9:40. And then, of course, Santa Anita will start at 12 noon on Saturday. Those are the adjusted earlier post times for Preakness Day on Saturday. And, of course, as I said, Pimlico will start at 7:30 tomorrow, 7:30 on Saturday morning, and at 8:30 on tomorrow morning, which is the Black Eyed Susans. All right. Well, we got Jonathan Hardoon standing by, Rich Eng, John Lendo, and Jerry J. Of course, Jerry J. Will have his Aqueduct selections. John Lendo is doing a sheet for Churchill Downs today. Rich Eng, who gave us a horse yesterday who won at Louisiana Downs, the second race winner. That horse was bet down, but it paid $320, but a winner is a winner is a winner. And with our only pick on the show yesterday, it came in and paid $320. Of course, Richie will be back today as well. And of course, Jonathan Hardoon is standing by. Want to find out exactly how the Preakness Stakes shape of race might change with the result of and the defection of Muth, who was the 8-5 morning line favorite when they took entries. And, you know, he pitched a fever and will be scratched. He's already scratched from the Preakness Stakes. the entire shape of the race kind of was centered around him and what he was going to do early in the race, etc. And a lot of people are sitting there and saying, now what shape does the race take? Who does it hurt and who does it help with the scratch of Muth? Take a look at that with Jonathan Hardoon in a bit. And of course, one other note as far as the Preakness horses are concerned, and it concerns the Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan. Seems that trainer Ken McPeak asked his rider, Robbie Alvarado, on Mystic Dan yesterday to gallop the horse 1 3/16 mile over the Pimlico Racecourse. Now, of course, as you know, that is the distance of the Preakness Stakes coming up on Saturday. He said he instructed Alvarado to do that and to let Mystic Dan have a strong finish at the end of his gallop in the race to emulate the distance of the Preakness Stakes. Kind of unusual for that, that's for sure, but that's what Kenny McPeak told his rider to do, and that's what he did. So it seems that Mystic Dan is acclimating very well to Pimlico Racecourse, as well as the other horses that are entered in the race as well. It seems we have got no reports of any horses that are doing anything other than what they're supposed to be doing right now in preparation for the Preakness on Saturday. All right. Coming to you live and direct from the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. We will take our first break on this almost Friday, Thursday, Race Day Las Vegas show. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, and more of the bugaboos with the suspensions from HISA, etc., with all of the drug violations continues. Seems that trainer George Weaver, whose horse on March 16th in the Cicada Stakes that finished third, came, had the failed a drug test, and had some kind of a diabetic drug in his system, her system, that shouldn't have. So they waited for the split sample to come back to make sure about that. And the split sample also showed it. So yesterday he was informed that he has a provisional suspension pending a provisional hearing before an arbitrator. Now, a lot of people that I know, certainly, who know George Weaver, the trainer, said this guy is about as squeaky clean as it can be. And again, we're talking about this is a drug that's used for diabetics. And again, we're talking about the sense of contamination when you're talking about horses in a stable area. This is not like in your home or in a completely sanitary place. This is a stable area where they have hay and all the other things that go on with stable area. I mean, there's dirt on the ground, et cetera. Plus the people who care for the horses. Maybe there was a diabetic who was caring for the horse. So there's got to be, I think, a rude awakening as far as when you talk about contamination with horses that are failing drug tests with minor amounts of whatever they're finding in their system. So we'll wait and see what happens with George Weaver. They're going to handle it with through the arbitration. But Weaver, come on, he's one of the cleanest trainers out there, that's for sure. A shame to see that happen. We'll wait and see about that. A lot of people are asking to get the parameters as far as the violations are concerned with the drug tests like that a little bit easier because of the sense of contamination when these horses, they're in a stable. They're not in, hermetically sealed somewhere. That's for sure. All right, time to go to the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook. Simulcast centers racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show are that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. These will be the first post times that roll out in our race books, and especially the one right behind me here at the South Point Pacific time zone first post times. If you're listening anywhere else on the complete array of platforms that we have that bring our show around the world, many different time zones, adjust to the Pacific time zone wherever you're at, so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. First post times are Pacific. All right, we begin with Belterra Park. Belterra Park has a first post time of 9:15, and they have a carryover at Belterra, I believe. Yes, super high five carryover, $1,470. And a first post time at Belterra Park for their eight races is at 9:15. Then we get to Pimlico Racecourse. Now, Pimlico Racecourse has eight races today. Races 1, 3, 5, and 7 were scheduled for the turf. They are now transferred to the main track. First race will be now run at 5 furlongs on the main track. Third race will be run at 1 mile on the main track. Fifth race, 5 furlongs on the main. Seventh race, 1 1/16 on the main track. Off the turf today at Pimlico, eight races, and a first post time of 9:25 at Pimlico today. All right, they have a super high five carryover there, by the way, $6,977. Then we get to Delaware Park. Delaware Park has eight races. Their first post time is 9:30. Belmont at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct, eight races today. They have taken their races off the turf as well, because the track condition is going to start out as sloppy. Track condition sloppy. It's been raining there in New York. Jonathan's been telling us about that. So they're off the turf today at Aqueduct. That means the first race will be held at 5.5 furlongs on the sloppy main track. The fifth race that was scheduled at 1 1/16 on the outer turf will be now transferred to 1 mile on the main track. And the seventh race, which was scheduled at 1 mile on the inner turf, will now be run at the same mile on the main track. All right, sloppy going off the turf at Belmont at Aqueduct. First post time is 10:05. 10:05 at Belmont at Aqueduct. Again, races 1, 5, and 7 off the turf. First post time, 10:05. Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has a Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot carryover of $65,415. They have eight races. First post time is 10:10. Horseshoe Indianapolis, that canceled yesterday, is still set to go today. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 11 races, 8 thoroughbreds. The last three races will be quarter horse trials for three-year-olds at 350 yards. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis today is set at 11:50. 11:50 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Churchill Downs will have another twilight card. Churchill Downs first post time is 2 p.m. Pacific time. 2 p.m. Pacific. Eight races today at Churchill Downs. They've got a pick six jackpot carryover, $11,305. Again, first post at Churchill, 2 p.m. Penn National. Penn National has seven races today. Their first post time at Penn National is set at 2:45 at Penn National today. And then we have Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs has first post time at 3:30 at Evangeline Downs. And we wrap it up with Charlestown. They have nine races today at Charlestown. They've got a pick six jackpot carryover, $15,621, and a first post time of 4 p.m. And that is your racing menu for today, Thursday. All right, now time to go out to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that the Preakness is actually the second jewel of the Triple Crown. And today is, and today
almost Friday.
It's almost Friday, yes. In any case, I got to ask you, Rajiv Murray had a great tweet out there, really. And remember, he is just recently retired, I guess, as a jockey. Although, if he's not retired, he's taking time off. He's doing some TV, I guess, for New York. But Rajiv tweeted out, with the scratch of Muth and everybody thinking that Muth was going to be the horse that, one, you had to beat, and two, you had to know where he was at, and three, figuring he'd be on or close to the lead. With his defection, the shape of the race completely changes now. He wants to know who it helps, who you think it helps, and who you think it hurts. Good question.
Well, I don't think it hurts anybody to tell you the truth. What it does is I'm sure it's going to change people's strategy. People that were thinking about sitting off of Muth no longer have Muth to sit off of, so they're going to be going. Personally, I think it helps the Tuscan Gulch, Chad Brown horse. This was his tactical speed only, his fourth career start. I think he's going to be forwardly placed, and he may even find himself on the lead.
Okay, we're having a little bit of problem with your audio, but it's okay because we can still understand you. It's just like rigid, but I got everything that we understood you that it's a technical thing, but we'll try to work that out. But in any case, when I looked at the past performances, Jonathan, all I can tell you is that there were several horses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we only have now, 8 horses in this race? There's only 8 in the race, right?
Correct.
Okay. So Mystic Dan, when he broke his maiden at 5.5 furlongs at Churchill, went on the pace, battled on the pace and won, which means that if they, I guess, elect to, he has enough natural speed there. Then you've got Seize the Gray, who won in the slop at Saratoga when he broke his maiden at 6.5 furlongs, going gate to wire. The Dwayne Lucas trainee, Just Steele, battled for the lead halfway through the Kentucky Derby before he called it a day. So, you know, he's got enough early speed possession if they want to use it. Tuscan Gold, which only had 3 races up till now in his career, And he's the one that definitely has a lot of upside for trainer Chad Brown. In the Louisiana Derby, halfway through the race, he was sitting third, about a length and a half, 2 lengths off of the lead in that race, and finished third, beaten less than 2 lengths. And then Imagination, Bob Baffert's other horse, I mean, in his past performances, in his last 5 races going 2 turns, he's been on or close to the lead in all of those races. So I think there's enough natural speed, if the jockeys choose to use it, in the vacancy of Muth. But now, who are going to be the jockeys? I think, I got to tell you, I think that these jocks are going to, as they say, play the break, see how these horses come out, and then figure it out from there. I don't think anybody has like a game plan to say, okay, we're going to grab the lead, unless they know their horse can really do well on a sloppier off racetrack, don't you?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a jockey's, you know, we're going to find out who's aggressive here and who's not. Just Steele, you know, gets a big jockey change from Keith Asmussen to Joel Rosario. But Rosario, I think, is better from behind than going to the lead. So I'm not so sure Just Steele is going to go. Mystic Dan may turn out going because he figures he won the Derby. So he's going to think he's the best in the race. Come and get me if you can. It's going to be interesting. Let's see how it all works out.
I think the bigger dynamic in this race with the defection of Muth is not so much the defection of Muth in the race on how the race shape is going to be, but the condition of the racetrack and how these horses handle the mud. Remember, when you're talking about sloppy racetracks and muddy racetracks, each of them are different sloppy, muddy racetracks, with the composition of the particular track you're running over none of these horses would run over Pimlico.
No, and every sloppy track is different, like you said, Ralph. No two sloppy tracks are the same. The good news is it's the 13th race of the day, so they're going to have plenty of time to see how the track is playing. I'm sure most of them are riding in other races, so they could use it as somewhat of a test run, you know, to find out where the best part of the track is. Not that you want someone doing that when you're betting your money, but let's be honest, that's probably what they're going to do. And again, it's late in the day. A lot's going to go on. We have no idea how much rain is coming, but we know one thing. The rain is coming. When they tell you 87% chance of rain, they're not going to miss, I don't think.
Yeah, and I got to tell you too, Jonathan, that in addition to all of that there, in this race, it's going to be, what the jockeys decide to do when they break from the starting gate is really what it's going to be all about, I think.
Well, it's always like that, Ralph. You know, I mean, it's a big race. No one's going to sacrifice their horse here. They want to give themselves the best opportunity to win. And again, we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we will wait and see about that. But that was an interesting tweet. I also found another tweet that kind of didn't shock me, but it's a stat that I think we ought to take into consideration. Irad Ortiz Jr. obviously doesn't ride at Pimlico, but he does ride there on big occasions, etc. And his stat so far is this. In two turn dirt races at Pimlico, he is 1 for 22. 1 for 22. And they went on to say, this is from Ed DeRosa. Ed went on to say that the first two turn race of this stat, he won, which means he's 0 for 21 thereafter. Now, I don't know if that makes any impact whatsoever, but all I can say is it's a notable stat.
It's a notable stat, but it means absolutely nothing, because if someone came up to you, Ralph, and said, give me three jockeys, pick one of three jockeys that you would like riding your horse in any race, I'm sure Ortiz would make, you know, most people's top list. So I don't put anything into that stat at all. Not only that, listen, I'm sure he wasn't on all 20 to one shots. He doesn't ride 20 to one shots. So obviously it's a little, it's just something to look at. Yeah. I give it zero.
Yeah, well, as you say, he's normally not 20 to one shots. Normally he's on some horses that kind of figure, and to go 0 for 21 on those horses, it is a stat at least to think about. But I can say this, you can look at that stat one of two ways. Either, boy, he's got a problem, or he's very much due and just keep betting him on the two turners. You know, there's one of two ways to look at that. That's for sure. And we'll wait and see about that. What do you think about the Weaver deal?
It's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's been a trainer for 23 years. He's never been suspended. Obviously, Heisa has serious problems here with this contamination. And then, you know, they're shooting and asking the questions after they shoot. So I don't know what the answer is, Ralph. You know how I feel about Heisa. We talk about it all the time on the show. I just don't see what they've done to really improve the game for the amount of money they've invested in them. And they're really starting to hurt people's lives and people's career. When you go after a guy like George Arnold, who's been in the game for 100 years and has never had any sort of suspension, and you go after guys like Weaver, who are truly respected people, you know, him and his wife, their trainers, and again, 23 years, never any sort of suspicion. You got to really give a lot of consideration to contamination.
Yeah, I think they do. I think what they have to do is, with all the money that we give them, maybe do one of their famous studies and study the contamination issue and come up with realistic parameters for that. That's for sure. Well, I know.
Yeah, but you can't be suspending people while you're doing a study. You know,
oh, absolutely.
They have to put these suspensions on the back burner until they figure it out or something. You can't just, you know, you can't shoot first and ask questions after. It's just not the right way.
Well, I agree with you 100%. What all I'm saying is that with the condition the way it is now, it's every time a guy gets suspended, we go through this debate that just, you know, if you got to do one of your crazy studies, you know, and figure out the parameters. But yeah, these guys. You're talking about their careers, and it's just, it's impactful, that's for sure. We'll wait and see what happens there. That's going to go to arbitration. It's been raining all quite a bit over there in New York, right? All day and all night?
Just never stopped. Actually, there's a break in the weather now. It's clearing up, so yeah, maybe tomorrow we'll be okay. But today, who knows?
All right. Well, we know we got a sloppy racetrack going on at Belmont at Aqueduct. They're off the turf already, so what say you?
All right, let's look at the eighth and final at Aqueduct today. And I like the number five horse in here, Storm and Heist. This is a three-year-old filly from the Demetrius Synthesis barn. Three career starts she has, and she's improving each and every one of them. I love the rider switch today to Manny Franco. She's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. She's run over a wet track in the past. Number five, Storm and Heist, wins today's eighth race out at Aqueduct.
I am not even going to try to repronounce the connections there. You did a good job of that. So in the eighth race, the five, Storm and Heist. Number five, Storm and Heist, Manny Franco aboard. Franco's having a good meet there, too.
He always does. You know, during the winter meet and early into the new year, the big riders still aren't all back. You got Irad Ortiz, Velasquez. They all spent the winter either in Florida or elsewhere. And so he's basically, him and Lascano are the king of the hill. Well, and Dylan Davis also.
What about Kendrick Carmouche? Give him a little love.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we have a handful of good riders. Yeah. No question about it.
And one of them is on this horse in the eighth race, the 5 Stormin' Heist with Manny Franco, number 5 in the 8th and final at Belmont at Aqueduct. And what are we going next?
Let's go to Churchill Downs and look at race number 4. It's 5 furlongs on the turf, and this is a turf-only selection. Mm-hmm. And I really like the number 2 horse in here, Makeup. This is a 3-year-old filly who tried the grass once as a 2-year-old at Keeneland, and she ran a huge figure. She returns as a 3-year-old, gets Lasix today for the first time. Keith Asmussen aboard for Steve Asmussen, his dad. I wonder how many turf races Keith Asmussen has actually ridden in or won, because he had a terrific Oaklawn meet. The only problem is there is no turf racing there. Anyway, he's on the turf tonight, 8-1 on the morning line. Number 2, Makeup, wins tonight's 4th race out of Churchill Downs.
I am glad you said tonight's, because with the 3-hour difference, they don't start racing a first race until 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. our time. And this is the 4th race in. So in the 4th race, if it stays on the turf now, folks, and obviously we don't have any of the late changes yet, in the 4th race at 5 furlongs, scheduled for the turf, only for the turf this play, number 2, Makeup, the 2 with the Asmussens. Connection there, the 2
family.
The whole family in the 4th race, the 2 horse Makeup is the play, turf only. Now you have how many sheets you have today?
We have Churchill and Belmont Aqueduct at Belmont.
Okay, 2 sheets today, Churchill and Belmont at Aqueduct. You can get it at his website, Jonathan, right?
JonHardoon.com.
All right. Now, tomorrow, we're going to have you and Mr. Lindo at the top of the show. As soon as we get started, we're going to go over all of those stakes races tomorrow for the Black Eyed Susan's Day of Racing. That includes the Black Eyed Susan. And, of course, ditto the same thing on Saturday for the Preakness and the other 8 stakes races there. So you get to work in there, buddy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We have double work, Ralph. We got to do both turf and dirt in case they do come off. And I think Saturday's a lot more chance of rain from what they're saying compared to tomorrow, but you never know. So I'm sure there are going to be races coming off. There's no question.
I would think, though, they would try the hardest, I think, to keep the stakes races on the turf.
Oh, of course.
And I think the determination of coming off the turf in the next 2 days will be determined by the jockeys when they come back and say, listen, I don't think it's that safe to ride over that or not. I think they'll make that determination.
But you also made a good point earlier, Ralph. You said it's a short meet, and it is a short meet, so they're not worried about saving the turf course, you know, for months down the road.
Yeah, no question about that. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right, quick break, and then we're coming back with Rich Eng, who gave us a winner yesterday. Don't go away.
Behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Almost Friday Thursday show. And again, tomorrow we're going to go over the Black Eyed Susans and all the other stakes races at Pimlico with John and Jonathan. And of course, ditto for Saturday's show. We're going to go over the Preakness and of course, all the other undercard stakes races there. A little handicapping seminar within the shows tomorrow and Saturday, our morning shows. And of course, we start at 7 a.m. Pacific time. All right, now time to go out to Rich Eng, who gave us a winner yesterday. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie.
Well, you know, the horse got bet down, but it was a winner, and that's all we care about.
Yeah, better a short price than a long face, an old Chinese proverb, Ralph.
Yeah, that's for sure. Richie, Rajiv Murrah had a, well, you got a little bit of a...
Yeah, I'm sorry. You got, if the dogs are bad, I'll just make it a short segment.
Yeah, okay, you got a critic back there. Feed the dogs, will you? In any case,
he's looking for Sandy.
In any case, Rajiv Murrah had a great tweet that I thought was good. With the scratch of Muth, he asked his people who follow him, who does the scratch of Muth help, and who does the scratch of Muth hurt? What do you think?
Well, I was under the impression Muth was going to be sent to the lead. And if he's out of the race, I really think Baffert's going to send his other horse, Imagination. And Frankie Dettori, you know, he's got an outside post. And, you know, the term play the break comes into play.
Yeah.
But I really think Imagination is the most likely horse to go to the front now.
And not only that, but this horse has, in his past performances, all his two-turn mile races are all races where he was on or, you know, just battling for the lead. So it makes all the sense in the world for that. I think the biggest X factor as far as who's going to take the lead and what the pace may be, et cetera, with the defection of Muth is the track condition and who likes that sloppy track, the type of sloppy track they'll be running on that Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan analyzed it correctly. It's race 13 on the card, so there's a lot of dirt racing before that. Some of it going two turns. So the jockeys are pretty sharp about, you know, seeing what's going on the racetrack. They'll know whether the rail's good or not. They'll know whether, whether the superintendent can harrow the track or not. You know, there's a lot of things that you'll find out over the course of the day. And who knows? Maybe weathermen have been wrong before, Ralph. Maybe we'll get surprised and, you know, catch a break in the, you know, maybe the track won't be as sloppy as it looks like it might be.
Yeah, Mother Nature, I hope, is a racing fan come Saturday, that's for sure. Hey, what are we doing today?
Let's go to a Churchill race number 5. I got a horse who's 6-1 in the morning line, but I'm pretty sure this horse is going to be a little lower than that. That's the one horse, Rosia Bay. Part of my angle is this horse is a closer, draws the rail. There's some speed to the outside. And this horse exits a Keeneland race that was a lot sharper, stronger field than this at Churchill. So let's go with the number one, Rosia Bay, 6-1, Luan Machado riding for William Maury.
All right, the fifth race, number one, Rosia Bay, the one in the fifth race. Rich Eng's play at 6-1 with Machado aboard. That, of course, in the fifth race tonight at Churchill, the one horse. All right, well, we're going to parlay the wins from yesterday right to another winner today. How about that, Rich?
That sounds good. Let's keep cashing tickets, Ralph.
All right, real quick, folks, I want to remind you that Rich Eng's selections for Santa Anita will kick in tomorrow with the start of Santa Anita over the weekend. It'll be at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. And his special handicapping and outlook for the big Saturday races at Pimlico that include the Preakness as well. Right, Rich?
Yeah, it is ready right now. I'll post it on the website, and people can order it going to my homepage at RaceDayLasVegas.com. Stayed up real late last night working on it, and it's ready to go.
All right, good. Go feed the dog. Thanks.
Hey, thanks. Good luck, everybody.
All right, final break. When we come back, John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Stay Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Okay, time to put the finishing touches on this almost Friday, Thursday show. And then, of course, we'll be back with It's Really Friday show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Now let's go to John Lendo standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. Weather is beautiful here in Las Vegas, and I would assume that it's pretty nice there in Southern California.
Yeah, we're getting that May gray in the morning, and it kind of burns off in the afternoon. So we're good to go. We're just waiting for racing to pick up again tomorrow at Santa Anita.
I guess Bob Baffert's going to have a horse that's probably on the lead anyhow in the Preakness, huh?
I think so. You talked about, you know, who does that scratch help? And it does probably help Imagination the best. He moves in one spot, and he's got speed. If he breaks well, I think Frankie Dettori can force the hand of the other horses to decide whether to go or sit off of him. And if they go, he falls into a nice tracking trip. If they leave him alone, he could get brave. So I think Frankie Dettori gets the best of the late scratch of Muth.
In Southern California, anything that should be reported as far as the racing down there as we're on the cusp of starting the weekend racing there?
Well, the field sizes are a little better Saturday. You know, we had some really light fields last weekend, and it's a little light tomorrow, a little better Saturday. I don't know if they're kind of sitting and holding for the Memorial Day weekend, what's going on. But, you know, we're just dealing with what we've got right now, and I was disappointed in the field size last week. Hope it picks up.
Yeah, no question about that. And you're right. With Memorial Day coming up, now that we can see in the future there, it runs on Monday, which Memorial Day is traditionally on the last Monday of May. And so that will be a special racing card at Santa Anita. Are they going to switch the Monday for the Friday after, or are they just going to pick up a day total at Santa Anita in the calendar?
We're scheduled to run the 4 days next weekend. So, you know, that may be part of the reason why they're kind of spacing this out, but, yeah. We'll see what the horse inventory allows us to do next weekend. But as far as on the schedule, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, a Memorial Day weekend.
And your schedule for the rest of the weekend as far as Pimlico and, of course, the Preakness Stakes on Saturday with the Lindell Report.
Well, we'll start up with Santa Anita again when racing resumes tomorrow. And we'll have all those stakes races from Black Eyed Susan Day Friday and also the Pimlico Stakes races from Preakness Day on Saturday as part of that Lindell Report. It'll be on the back of the Santa Anita sheet.
All right. And we got to remind everybody that the Lindell Report, each and every day he publishes the Lindell Report, not only for Southern California, but for special racing cards and special days of racing when Santa Anita is not running. Every Lindell Report that's published is available here on that race day here in Las Vegas in only one place. And that is at the South Point Racebook, right here at the South Point Racebook, free of charge, exclusively, the Lindell Report, as it is today for Churchill Downs. John, let's get a pick from it. Well, I tell you what, before we get a pick, I know that when you do other racetracks and when you do Santa Anita, the first Lindell Report of the week of the track that you're covering, you usually update the jockey trainer standings for the patrons, and you did the same thing for Churchill Downs, so... how do we see it?
Right now, the leading rider at Churchill is Tyler Gaffalione. He's got 13 winners. Florent Giroux, second with 9. And then you have the Ortiz brothers, Jose and Arad, and Luis Saez. They all have 7. Of course, those numbers are all basically from the opening week that included the Kentucky Derby. Arad's not riding there now, but he's still on the leaderboard. As far as the trainers go, Brad Cox, the leading trainer, he's got 9 wins. Steve Asmussen right behind, he's got 8 winners. And Mike Maker with 6. So the names you would expect to see near the top are right there. And for you, Ralph, favorites are right around the normal at 32% for the meet.
Okay, I can take. That's fine. That's where it should be, right around there. That's for sure. I know that Luis Saez is still riding at Churchill Downs on a daily basis. But I don't know where Jose went. I know that Irad is
Jose's moved to Kentucky. He is riding in Kentucky on a regular basis now.
All right. Well, I don't see him riding anything today, so maybe he's got a little suspension or something sitting down there. We'll wait and see. All right. Churchill Downs, Twilight Post time is at 5 p.m. there at Churchill, which means it's 2 p.m. here in Las Vegas Pacific time. No late scratches or conditions to report just yet. What are we doing, John?
Let's go down to race number 7 at Churchill Downs. In the 7th race, number 1, Arrow Smash, a horse that's really improved since adding blinkers. They figured him out. He's a one-turn horse. He's at 7 furlongs today, so that ought to be perfect. And there's no better trainer in the country off a layoff than Phil Bauer. He hits at over 30%.
Wow.
Horse is training well. This is his home base. 7-2 on the morning line. Look for a nice stalking trip from the rail. Number 1, Arrow Smash. Race number 7, Churchill Downs.
7th race, the 1, Arrow Smash. And that, of course, is 6 furlongs. 7th race, the 1, Arrow Smash, is John Linda's pick off of the Linda Report for Churchill Downs today. And, of course, tomorrow you'll be back with the Santa Anita sheet as well. And, John, of course, we will highlight you and Jonathan at the top of the show both tomorrow and on Preakness Saturday to go over all of the stakes races on those 2 days coming tomorrow and Saturday at Pimlico Racecourse. So we're getting set and ready to do a little seminar here on the Race Day Show for the next 2 days in the morning.
We'll be ready to go, Ralph.
You got it. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Good luck today.
All right, now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
All right. Pleasant day in our neighborhood. I know that. That's for sure. I just wish the weather was a little bit better on the East Coast, but we'll have to deal with it. That's for sure. Today, the track comes up sloppy at Belmont at Aqueduct, and the turf races, the races that were scheduled for the turf, have really been decimated with a lot of scratches.
Yeah, it's a pretty weak card, so it turns out that way. It didn't start out that bad, but, you know, just the way it goes sometimes.
All right, now, with your power pages, people ought to really pay attention to the donations of M and P, the lowercase M, higher-case P, capital P's. Because that denotes...
Right, well, the M's, the little M and the big M, they tell you the horses perform well on the mud, and obviously, or sloppy or muddy. Not good, I'm not using... It doesn't have anything to do with a good track or a wet, fast track. I'm just dealing with muddy and sloppy.
Uh-huh.
And the big M, obviously, does even better than the little M. What I think are most interesting on my sheets are the little P and the big P, the potential to be good on the wet. This is based on breeding, my opinion of the way to handle data to determine potential to be improving on the wet track, meaning wet or muddy, sloppy or muddy. And I think they have the greatest value in them. They're fantastic value horses because they haven't proven one way or another that they're any good on it. In fact, they may even have a mediocre race on it, but I still may have a P on it because I think the breeding suggests that they should. Really,
and of course,
well,
the P is for potential. That's for sure. So now the track is labeled sloppy. It starts out as sloppy today at Belmont at Aqueduct. Throughout the course of the day, though, if they don't get any more rain and they do what they do there and it starts drying out, when they upgrade the track condition to muddy, that's when the P's and the M's don't mean much, right?
No, the P's and M's are fine for sloppy or muddy.
Oh, okay.
When they go to good, then they become less important.
Well, I would think that, well, I don't know too much about how the weather is going to be there as far as getting it to dry out, but for the most part, I think between sloppy and muddy is just going to be the conditions today, don't you?
Yeah, no, you know, it's my best guess.
Okay, now let's get some of your best guess for picks.
All right, we'll go to the second race, Veloce, the one horse at 5-2. And here's a horse that I think runs okay on the wet, but not necessarily any better. But she's so much faster than these, I think she sort of stands out. The 5-2 makes her really sort of a pop-out key. I think she's 4-5, really. 4-5 to win this race.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the number one Veloce in race number 2. Probably be a single on my early horizontals, but I'll take the one over the 2-4 reverses just to break even. That's my habit, but I really like the one an awful lot in race number 2 to just go wire to wire.
All right, in the second race today at Aqueduct, just get to the finish first, right? In the second race, number one, Valouse. The one Valouse in the second race, 5-2 on the morning line with the Romero Mirage aboard, Romeo Mirage. And link-ups are the 2 and the 4, 1 over 2, 4, and reverse. That in the second race at Aqueduct. Yeah, I'll squeeze one more out of you.
Yeah, let's go to the 8th race. Mm-hmm. And we may get a little more drawing by the 8th race. We'll see what happens. So I'm just going to give you a horse I kind of like. I don't know about the wet track. You guys will have to decide. But Houdini's Bride, the 8 horse, first time out, sort of just took a tour of the course.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't really asked to do too much. Gets a really big jockey switch here for a really good trainer, Michelle Nevin. And at 4-1 seems like some sort of value. Again, I don't play a lot of one-number horses such as Houdini's Bride is, but today I think I'll step out on her. I'll take the 8 over 1, 2, 5, and 6. Reverse 1, 2, 5, and 6 over the 8. But the 8 in race number 8, that's going to be our feature play, our second feature play in Pop Out Key.
Okay, you have given me a Sirocco play and the last pick of the day. Jonathan Ardoon came with the 5 in that race, so the Sirocco play is going to be the exacta box of 5, 8, 8, 5. And you include that horse in your link-ups. The 8 over 1, 2, 5, and 6 is your play. The 8 is your horse in the 8th and final at Belmont.
What I'll do is I'll just add money to the 8, 5, 5, 8. That's in my play already. I'm just gonna bump it up a notch.
So an extra little bang with the 5, 8, 8, 5 then.
Absolutely. Okay. Because now I have a second opinion that doesn't exactly confirm mine, but it doesn't negate it either. And it's sort of a positive.
Let's put it this way. You guys are at least in the same ballpark. That's for sure with your thoughts about the race. And
sure.
The power pages for Belmont at Aqueduct today are available at your website, jerryjspowerpage.com. All right. As we wrap up this almost Friday, Thursday race day show, by the time we talk to you again, it will be Friday. So that's it. Tomorrow's Friday show will, of course, have the
Black Eyed Susans
and handicapping a seminar on that early in the show. And of course, the same deal for Saturday. But in the meantime, one more thing to say, Jerry's going to say it.
Have a great race day.